I am interviewing my grandmother, Hazel Lumpkin, from Cedartown, Georgia. What's your full name?
Hazel Virginia Lumpkin.
What year were you born?
February 14th, 1920.
What were your parents' names?
Marion Carroll. And Emma Carroll. Emma Tillery Carroll.
Okay.
She was a Tillery.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had five brothers. I had four brothers and four sisters.
So there are eight children. They lived in one house. Nine mm-hmm. children with you.
Yeah, nine children.
And you're the baby of the family.
Yes.
Y'all were, when you were born, y'all lived in?
Cherokee County, Alabama.
And then you moved to Cedartown.
Yes.
And that's where you lived the remainder of your life?
Yes.
Okay. When you lived in Cherokee County and your dad was still alive, what was it that your family did?
My family, my father was a sharecropper, and he worked land, had cotton, and used his children, the older children, to go on to the fields and pick the cotton and cut the corn and whatever.
He was a sharecropper?
Yes.
Did he, do you know if old, like, who or owned the land that he worked on, or did he try to buy his land?
Yes, he was trying to get to where he could buy his own land, and he was the way he was getting started was to buy his own mules and horses, and he had his own mules, horses, wagons, and was putting in like a cultivator, and of course he had his own plows, you know, with the horses. But he raised everything he ate. He raised everything he ate.
Did they, but the way he made money was off of cotton?
Yes.
And he took it to a gin?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Took it to gin, and then it was baled into bales, and then sold at the going price at that time. And back in those days, you picked the cotton out of the, of course, I didn't do it, but all of my, you know, brothers and sisters that were older did pick the cotton by hand then.
And then, did they take it to the gin, or did?
Yes, they took it in a wagon to the gin.
Mm-hmm.
A wagon, you know, that had big, tall side pieces,
uh-huh.
you know. If you had cotton this day and time, you'd just carry it in these big trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they didn't have any cars. You know, they had to use the farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know, like, what the blacks did in this period of time?
Maybe there'd be one black in an area, you know. In a neighborhood or area where houses were not close together, and they had big farms because they had to raise all the food for the children. But when he rented the land, my daddy rented the land, he would give the man he rented from so much of his cotton and corn or whatever he raised, And in that way, that he was paying a bill, you know, for
what he'd done.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of money swapping hands, they swapped food for pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of the clothes and things were homemade.
Well, when he would go to area and sold like cloth and stuff of that sort, he would get enough to make everybody so many dresses
mm-hmm.
off of a bolt of cloth. And of course, we didn't around this farm. We never made any cloth.
Okay. Was your family mostly middle class? Would you say middle class? Or were y'all poor? Or
well, I don't think you'd call anybody like we were that had plenty of food, you know. Cows and hogs and chickens and everything that you had to have to eat, you know. Killed their own hogs. Well, see, they'd take the hog and the fat of the hog, they would cook it, you know that big old pot out there on the back?
Mm-hmm.
They'd cook it in that. And then they'd put it in containers and keep it in these containers until they used it up or killed another hog.
Okay. Then, after your father died, your family moved to Cedartown to work in the mills.
Mm-hmm. Work in the mills.
Did your mother work in the mill?
No.
But your sisters and
my
brothers?
My sisters were old enough, not the brothers at that time, but the sisters were old enough to go to work. Four sisters. And so they went to work in the old cotton export mill.
A good year?
No, the old cotton export mill.
Okay.
Now, this was the mill, you know, going down West Avenue on the left before you get to the church.
Uh-huh.
Now, that was the first village
okay.
we lived in. And then Goodyear came to Cedartown, and then these girls went over there and got jobs. And then by that time, the boys were old enough to get jobs over there, so they had, four girls over there and two boys, and then later another boy went, which made three boys.
What was the age that most girls and boys started to work in the mills?
Back in those days. I think by that time it had gotten to be 16.
16?
Uh-huh. And, you know, Cricket, they were such small
mm-hmm.
Person. She was a run of all of them. They wouldn't believe that she was old enough to work. And so they had to come home and get the Bible and take the Bible to the man that was hiring the people at that time.
What were the jobs that the boys usually did?
Well, they doffed in the spinning room, they call it, spinning department. And, you know, it's where they have lots of cotton on tube-like things,
mm-hmm.
you know. But these were wood. The tubes were wood tubes. And so the girls would keep the spinning frame up, and then they'd have to doff these frames every so often during the day. And because they'd run over if you didn't. And of course, they didn't like that.
So they turned the cotton into thread.
Yeah.
Were there any mills in Cedartown area that turned the thread into anything, or was it just sold?
No, it was, they got the cotton out of the a big tube thing, you know, but cotton was all down in that. And they pulled it up here and pushed it through a thing, and it twisted out, I reckon, you know, so they could get it where it would go onto a frame in a on a tube, you know, on a little spool.
Spool, yeah. Okay, did blacks work in the mill?
Yeah.
Were there a lot of blacks?
No.
There's a mostly whites?
No, they did. I mean, they didn't hire lots of blacks. Just an occasional black with a white back in those days. But, you know, before the mill closed down, they were hiring about as many blacks as whites.
In the mill town, did the closest houses to the mill plant, were they the higher up in the mill, and farther back you live from the mill, the lower you were in the mill?
It was here. All the bosses, you know, there in front of the Goodyear Mill, all the bosses lived on that street nearly. And then there's another street in town that they used with different bosses. But then we had the village part, you know, separated.
Was you a member of Kresge Methodist?
Yes. I'm a member of the Kresge United Methodist Church, and it has been, when it was first built, it was built in a cotton field, that church was.
You've been raised in that church?
Yes, for 75 years.
And my father was raised in that church?
Yes.
Okay.
All his life.
Was Kresge a mill-owned church? Did the mill own?
No, the mill didn't own it. A man from up north owned the property, and they were associated at that time with a cotton export mill, and he wanted to build a church. And they built a church there for the mill village people. At that time, it was a mill village church. Nobody ever went to it but mill village people. But in this day and time, that's not true. I mean, you have all kind of trades.
But back then, it was mostly mill.
It was just mill village people.
Did the mill own most of these stores in Cedartown?
No.
They were privately owned?
Uh-huh. They were privately owned. And, you know the Harps home?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Ethel Harps, she was associated with our church. And she got to taking in these girls and boys that the families could not feed them and look after them. And that wasn't, that they were orphan children. You know, it wasn't all like that. They did have some orphans up there, but she started taking in people from around over Polk County and taking them to her home up on the hill, and she clothed them, fed them, sent them to school, and they had a good life. And most of them ended up with college education.
When you were little, do you ever remember going to the city of Atlanta?
No.
No?
No. We might have come as far as Rome or Santa Alabama, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of those.
What was the average, like what would y'all have for an average supper?
We'd have milk and cornbread. For evening meal, and for the noon meal, back in those days it wasn't just a sandwich like we have in this day and time. We had a pot of beans, and corn, and okra, and a piece of steak or a piece of some kind of meat, you know, whatever.
And your mother stayed at home
yeah.
and prepared everything for the other kids.
Yes.